We're going to have a key verse, and the key verse is a simple one. I bet you most of you could quote it even. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So you say, why in the world is that important? Why in the world is that key? Well, the book of Genesis, the actual meaning of it means the word beginning. It's talking about the beginning. We're talking about the first. Now, Genesis means beginning. It's the first. And the book of Genesis is many times the first time. And when you begin to just think and contemplate the book of Genesis, there's so much that we can understand about ourselves and so much we understand about the world. There's 50 chapters. There's 1,533 verses. Genesis is a book that states many things for the first time. It states creation. You know how we know that the world was created? It's because the Bible tells us. So the first man, the first woman, first sin, tells us about Sabbath, tells us about marriage, tells us about the family, tells us about how to labor, our culture, murder, sacrifice, teaches us about languages, redemptions, and cities. Now, we're not going to have time to go over everything, obviously, because it's only a one classroom time. But to give you a main overview of the different books, sometimes I think we forget about how important the book of Genesis is. The book of Genesis is a book that we can trust. If you look here in Genesis chapter number 1, it says here in verse number 3, the first three words, and God said. You go down to verse number 6, and God said. You go down to verse number 9, and God said. You go down to verse number 11, and God said. You know, in verse number 14, and God said. And, you know, it's all about what God said. And that's what this book is. The Word of God is about what God has, His letter to us, what He's saying. And it's something that we can trust. You know, there is one thing we got to get in our hearts and minds. Either we're going to believe the Bible and say that it's true, or we're going to question it. And the book of Genesis lays a foundation. The whole system of Christianity depends upon the accuracy of the statements that are made in the book of Genesis. If these statements are inaccurate, the Christianity is like a building without a foundation. If you can't believe what the book of Genesis says about creation, then you can't believe the whole Bible, because of the fact that you're questioning the beginning. It is the declaration of the first statements which state the permanent values that are found in the Bible. And we can trust the Bible. Why can we trust the Bible? Because God's the one that said it. It's God's truth. And we learn in Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. So if we believe in the Bible, we believe the whole context of the Bible. I think most of us would agree that we believe that God created the heaven and the earth. That's something that's simple. But that's something that is questioned so much today. That is not taught to the majority of our children. That is not taught to the majority of teenagers today. You know, they're taught evolution. They're taught a Big Bang theory. They're taught so much different things. But if we go back to the basics and have this understanding, if we believe that God created the heaven and the earth, it's the first statement. And this is what our whole system of Christianity is based upon, is that this is true. The truth of the Word of God. And thy word is very pure. It is all pure. The Word of God is pure. It is perfect. And as we must understand that if we're going to understand the Bible. We must accept it as the Word of God. Is there parts in there that we wish that were not in there? There's probably some parts that if we were writing it, we would change. There's probably some parts in there that we wish that maybe the Lord would get kind of left out. But there are some things that if we accept it as the Bible, accept it as the Word of God, it's important that we accept the book of Genesis. Now, every thinking person, well, every person that thinks a lot, probably have asked themselves some of these questions. Things like, where did I come from? Now, where we find that at? Yes, sir.
Before you go on, I'd like to make a comment on what the part you just said.
Okay.
Because when evolution gets to everybody's mind in America and around the world, that they don't believe the book of Genesis is true anymore.
Right.
And I'm glad for how you've made, at least in the last year, and I know you're going to continue, with Kids Choir, the songs they sing, with Kids Crusade last year, and such an emphasis on all that it is God, and it has to be God in our teaching our kids, otherwise we lose the book of Genesis.
What he's saying is truth is if these kids aren't being taught this today. And back when, maybe when you were children, you know, when the Bible may have been read in your classrooms, and Brother N.T. told us last week about a teacher telling him a verse every day, and you know, the pledge, you know, things like that, evolution might have been a theory, but today they're teaching it as fact. And this is what's being bombarded to our children today. And that you might say, well, these are all simple things. This is the origin of our belief. This is the beginning. It's kind of interesting. God takes these first 11 chapters and teaches us about the world itself and teaches us about Him. And then He takes the rest of the book and the rest of the Bible to teach us about how we're supposed to live. But these chapters are important. They're key that we understand. You know, think about some of the most basic questions that we get from the book of Genesis. Where did I come from? Who made all this? You know, even children think of this, and even humans think about this. They even had these questions. Why am I like I am? You know, I've had people sitting in counseling and say, I don't understand why I just can't get over this addiction, or I don't understand why I just can't control my temper. I don't understand. It's all found here in the book of Genesis. It teaches us that sin came into the world and what sin can do to people. We see murder and Cain. We see that the world had gotten to be so bad that God destroyed the world with a flood. We saw what happened with Nimrod. We saw what happened at the Tower of Babel. You know, there is so much that we learn from the book of Genesis. And these questions are basically answered. And if we don't believe in the book of, if we don't believe in the book of Genesis, yeah, man is left to themselves.
Yes, sir.
And they have this relative truth that whatever they think is okay, it must be truth. And the problem with that is you think one thing and I think another thing. There's no consistency. The book of Genesis is what teaches us from the beginning. The book of Genesis speaks in terms of revelation made to man rather than being a record of discoveries made by man. Now, think about that statement again. The book of Genesis speaks in terms of revelation made to man rather than being a record of discoveries made by man. You go to all those textbooks, you go to all those other places and all those schools, you know what they're going to tell you? What man has discovered. See, the Bible is completely different. It's not just another textbook. It is the book. And you have to go to the Bible to get God's revelation. The book is God telling us the information about ourselves that we could not have found anywhere else. There's nowhere else we would ever know that God created the heaven and the earth. There is nowhere else that we would know and understand why there is sin. And the reason why we are is because we are born with an inherited sin nature. All these things are taught to us through the book of Genesis. And it's important that we go back and explain to these kids, hey, as a Christian, you know where you came from, you know how you got here, and you know where you're going, and you know your purpose in life.
Amen.
But there is millions and probably billions of people out there that have no idea where they came from, have no idea why they are here, and have no idea where they're going. And you want to know why? It's because they've been bombarded with everything that try to disprove what the Bible teaches us. You see, it is the final say on these issues. The Bible is clearly either you accept it, and you accept it as a whole, as the truth. It is the final issue on this. There is no, well, God could have used evolution. There is no this or that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and here it's the final say on these issues. And if anyone objects to these issues, we should rise up and stand up for the word of God. That is why we ought to object to evolution and object to other things that teach and preach against the Bible. You know, it's like Brother Jim said in our kids' crusade last year, we taught about creation. And the reason why we did that is because all through the year, many of those kids that go to a public school that might not go to a church or at least a Bible preaching church, because evolution is even leaking into our churches.
Yes,
and it's amazing how people have come up with these notions to try to bring the word of God with man's thoughts and man's philosophies. But it was sinful men that came up with this discoveries of their own mind just to push God out. There is no scientific evidence. There is no proof of it. There is nothing that contradicts what the Bible teaches us. And the problem is we're believing the record of the discoveries made by man more than the revelation of God. But how do we get this into a living principle? Well, if we believe the Bible about the birth, if we believe the Bible about the beginning of creation, we're going to have to believe the Bible about how we should live our lives too. And that's where many of us fall into the problem. But we'll get into that a little bit more here in a second. The permanent value of the book. You say, permanent value of the book. Now, this is what how we're going to try to break it up throughout the weeks is we're going to look at two different things. We're going to remember a permanent value, something that will ever change. And that's what creation is. And that's what the book of Genesis is. It's the beginning. There's truth to it. You can hold to the truth. It is a permanent because it never changes. You will never read something in Genesis and see it differently or contradicting it in the book of Isaiah. Why is that? Because what we have is God's word. And God's word is truth, and truth is permanent. Nothing will ever happen to change the fact that creation was done by God. Nothing will ever happen to change what has happened back in the garden, the other things. So if we're going to understand the Bible and believe the Bible, we need to believe it as a whole. What's the living message? What's the living message? Well, the book of Genesis as a whole teaches us so much. First of all, it teaches us that we came from God. We have a relationship. Suppose we did not have any other book of the Bible. If we only had the book of Genesis, and that was it. And the book of Genesis teaches us about redemption. It teaches us about sin. It teaches us how people can be forgiven. It teaches us a ton of things. If we had no other book of the Bible, what would the living message be from the book of Genesis? First thing is, we came from God. We have a relationship with God. We are personally held accountable to God. This is a message that must be understood, that God made man. And when God made man, God made a man accountable to him. Eve and Adam had to be accountable to God. All these other characters, they had to be accountable to God. Those that were at the Tower of Babel, those that were before the flood, all these things were held accountable for God. Also, another wonderful thing that many people miss out of the book of Genesis is our sins can be forgiven. You know, God doesn't just zap us, or God doesn't just leave us to ourselves. He forgave Adam. He saw that. He set Adam up. He forgave. Did he forgive Noah? He forgave Abraham. He forgave Jacob. I mean, yes. Jacob was a squirrely fellow that he forgave. You know, he forgave these people. And he teaches us this. The book of Genesis is the first. It's the beginning of many firsts. It doesn't teach the whole conclusion of what God says about forgiveness, or teach the whole conclusion of what God says about redemption or about sin or about the world. The rest of the Bible helps us with this, but this is the beginning. This is the first. These are the statements that begin to teach us. Also, it teaches us that faith pleases God. We see that God blesses those that have faith in him. We see how God blessed Enoch. We see how God blessed Abraham. And yes, blessed Isaac and blessed Jacob and blessed Joseph. We saw throughout the Bible how God would bless people. In this book of Genesis, this is the living message that we find. It's the message we apply today. If God created us, you see, that's what many people that believe in evolution has a problem. They do not want to be held accountable to God. They do not want to believe that there is a greater being that someday they will have to stand before. They reject this. They object to this. This goes against their human nature. And they have to do whatever they can to try to find something that will contradict what the Bible teaches. And anything they can, they try to draw unreasonable conclusions. The amount of faith it takes to believe in evolution versus the amount of faith it takes to believe in the Bible is not even close. The truth that's found there. And we also learned that faith and obedience always work together. Book of Genesis has many living messages. You say, Pastor, that was the first book. It was written 6,000 years ago, or however long ago it was, and it doesn't apply to me today. It's the most basic thing in our life. God made man, and we are accountable to God. Yes, in some other ways we do have other authorities, but the main primary focus of the book of Genesis is God did create us. And if God created us, we're going to have to answer to him. If you believe this, then we got to believe the rest too. I've worked with a lot of people. When I worked at the pharmacy, there was a lot of supposedly intelligent people that were pharmacists. I always try to witness to, and they believed like the book of Genesis was nothing but myths, that there really wasn't. And you know, I tell them, how can you believe a portion of it but not believe all of it? It's just ridiculous to think at the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Let's believe in it, let's have truth in it, and let's now live our lives according to what the Bible teaches us. It's broken down in two main categories. The first thing is the beginning of human history. It's the chapters 1 through 11. You look at the book of Genesis, if you ask for an outline, I would tell you that there's two main breaks there. It's the beginning of human history, and then it's the beginning of the Hebrew history. When you look at the beginning of human history, we see that it first begins with creation. These things should be on the handout that I gave you, some of it. Creation, it says, and in Hebrews 11:3, wonderful verse in the Bible. Good one to remember, good one to memorize. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. You know, it's by faith we believe this. Was anybody there when creation began? No, only God was. God even asked that back in the book of Job. Job is sitting there contradicting a little bit of God, and God says, you know, were you there? And Job wasn't there. And who are we to question, you know, God in that aspect? And here it is. Hebrews 11:3 teaches us that we understand this by faith. And if we understand this by faith, there is so much more we need to understand. Now, when we believe creation, it refutes a lot of these isms that are out there in the world today. If you believe in the Bible and you believe what God has taught, you think about it, it refutes atheism. God created, there was a God. It created the heaven and the earth. It refutes polytheism, which means there's multiple gods. There's only one God, the Bible teaches us, and it only speaks of one God here in the book of Genesis. It refutes fatalism. It says it's not by chance, but by divine decree. There's people who believe that it's just by chance that we're here, and we just think everything happens by chance. It refutes evolution because God created us. It refutes pantheism because God and the universe are not the same because God created the heavens and the earth. You know, if you get into the book of Genesis and you understand and look at the book of Genesis, it teaches us all these other things are without truth. And I go back many times when I'm talking to somebody who says, I'm an atheist. And I ask them, what does that mean? And they're like, I don't believe that there's a God. And I ask, well, how do you believe you got here? And, you know, sometimes they talk about that, how they believe science, but it's just that basic thing. That's the first thing I take them back to many times is, how did we get here? And sometimes it says, come on, you're smarter than that. You can't believe that this world just banged into existence. And I tell them a little bit about the human body or tell them a little bit about where the earth is at or tell them some little just basic things. It says, and just try to get them to question their beliefs because of the fact that it's so unrealistic to think what this, that to any other form of creation and the fact that God created the heaven and earth. Another main category underneath the beginning of human history, we have the fall of man. The fall of man. This is a big deal. We understand this is where sin comes into it. We see that God gave them one commandment. They disobeyed this commandment. Because of this commandment, we see the fall of man. And because we see the fall of man, we see sin that is passed down from throughout the whole human race. We find this in the book of Genesis. It teaches us this. It's the first. Now, in the book of Romans, does it explain it a little bit better? In more detail? Yes. But it teaches us here in the book of Genesis that about the fall of man. Now, remember how you can even take your Bible to go to Genesis chapter number 3. You see in verse number 1, Satan questions the authority of God. This is another living message that we can see how man fell and how many times we fall ourselves when we begin, number 1, as Satan did, question the authority of God. Look at the end of verse number 1. It says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know, he's questioning. He's talking to Eve. He's in the form of the servant. And he says to him, yea, have God said, he's questioning the authority of God. Verse number 4, he is denied the authority of God's word. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely survive. He substitutes his own word for God's word. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we see that this is another message we can learn from the book of Genesis, where we came from and why we have a sin nature. And the reason why we struggle with so much sin is because at the beginning, someone questioned the authority of God. And that's when we begin to have problems, is when they say, you know what? Did God really tell me I could not do blank? You know, that's where we come. Did God really tell me I had to do this? That's when we get ourselves in trouble, is when we, instead of looking at the Bible by faith, and it's a common sense book, and understand what the Bible is teaching us, we begin to question God and his authority and say, well, did God say this? And then we go, Satan denies the authority of God. Oh, no, God didn't mean that. And then when we say God could not have meant that because our own personal feelings and our own self believes this, then we take and we replace our own words, our own relative truth that we've gotten from our own fleshly nature, and we replace it with God's words. And we say, yeah, God didn't really mean this. This is what God must have meant. And that's when we get in trouble. That's exactly what happened with the devil. Satan, he said, well, the devil's the one that tricked Eve into doing it. I would never do that. You got a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's got the devil is going around pulling the same tricks today, whispering. Well, I don't hear him. No, he doesn't come in the form of a serpent anymore, right. But he does speak to us, and he tries to convince us, to teach us. Yeah, God didn't really mean that. Hey, that pastor's just too old-fashioned. That pastor is unrealistic. It just doesn't work for the, you know, that's what they're trying to, the devil's trying to get you to do, and question the authority of God, and question the authority of God's word, and replace how you feel based off what God states. Next thing, not only did we see the creation and the fall, the next thing is the flood. We see the flood. The flood teaches us that that there's consequences. You know, what's the cause of the flood? You say, God doesn't ever judge sin. Go back to Genesis chapter number 6. There's some judgment of God going on there. God's a loving God. He would never cast anybody into a horrible place called hell. Well, you know, go back into the Bible and see the judgment that God did place upon people. And you see here in Genesis chapter number 6, you look in verse number 5, you see the cause. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Okay, that describes our world today so well. This violence issues, these things that even Brother Reed talked about, you know, the truth is, it's sin that's gotten there. People have taken God out of society and they're trying to push him out. They're trying to say the book of Genesis isn't true. If they take away this first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, well, we don't have anything. Well, that's why we need to learn how to stand up for it and believe in it and teach it and tell others and not be ashamed of the fact what God has said and what God's word has said. And the flood was true and the flood did happen. And the reason why it happened was because of man's sin. So, Christian, don't ever think that you can sin and get away with it. The cure for the sin that we see here was to destroy mankind. Now, God has promised he would not do it that way again. But we also see the consequences that we deal with today. The changes in weather and the longevity of life, things of the way that the weather worked, this changed then. We started seeing rain fall from the sky, and we also saw that the lives when people were living 900 years old or 800 years old, now most of us are struggling to make it to 70 years old. So we see the consequences. They're something that's passed down too. Not only do you see this, you also see with the beginning of human history, you see the Tower of Babel. You see the Tower of Babel. And, you know, God told Noah. What did God tell him to do? He says, go out and replenish the earth. He wanted them to spread abroad, but he wanted them to reproduce in the earth. But you know what man did? What man's good at? They rebelled against what God desired. And instead of doing what God's desire, they rebelled and they said, we're going to stay here. We're going to build a tower and we're going to go commune with God. And he said, well, what was wrong with that? It was against what God has said. Once again, they take and they replace what they think is best for what God's word is. And Christian, this is where we get in trouble with our lives. The book of Genesis teaches us a bunch of firsts. We see the rebellion. We see the restriction that's found there, that they're restricted in the different languages that are given. They can't communicate with one another, and they have to go off and spread throughout the rest of the world. In the book of Genesis is the place where you can learn about different reason why people look different a little bit. And even if you like the formality of different races or the different idea where how different people have went to the different areas, the book of Genesis teaches us that. And that's a whole nother lesson, but the understanding there that God created all of us into the human race. And so it's the book of Genesis teaches us that. And when the Tower of Babel, when they dispersed, is something that it teaches us some more there. Okay. And then we have, last but not least, we see the beginning of Hebrew history. The beginning of Hebrew history. Back in the book of Genesis, God taught us that because of our sin, we would need someone to come and redeem us. God taught us and promised in the book of chapter number 3, he promised to Adam and Eve that there would be a Savior that would come, someone that would come and bruise the head and give that one fatal blow to Satan. And he taught us that. And here in chapter number 12, you know what it starts doing? It starts beginning to reveal unto us the coming of Christ. It begins this nation, this chosen nation, this chosen people, this nation, this Jewish nation, this Hebrew nation. And from this Hebrew nation, we see the supernatural call of Abraham in chapter number 12, where he told him to go to a place that he was going to tell him where to go. We talked about it shows about the supernatural conception, about Isaac, how when Abraham was old and how Sarah was old and how there was a supernatural conception and the idea that they had children were way past age. And also in the book of Genesis, you hear about Jacob and the supernatural control, how he wanted to do things his own way and how he had to submit to what God desired. And then we hear this, the awesome story of Joseph. Now, that's one of the greatest stories in all the Bible, the supernatural care of God. How God took care of Joseph, even though it didn't seem like he was taking care of him, but he did this to Joseph to teach him and to be a type of Christ, that he was sent to save many people's lives. Amen. In the nation of Egypt. And that's the same message that all the Bible teaches us, that there was a coming Messiah. Book of Genesis is the beginning. It's the beginning of truth. It teaches us. And the question is, do you believe it? Because if you believe it, then as we go through here and we try to let the Bible open up and reveal unto us all these different things and teach us all these different things, we need to understand that God's worked out a plan. And throughout all the Bible, he worked out a plan step by step by step. And it began with creation. Began with God created the heaven and the earth. And if we remember that, know that, and understand that, and then from the beginning of time, he's promised a Savior. And that's what you're going to see as the book goes through, the Savior coming about. When Jesus was born that day in Bethlehem, it was not just a babe. It was the Son of God coming to this world to die for mankind. And it was predicted and planned, and you'll see the plan of God work throughout the pages of the Bible. Now, I'm hoping that this upcoming year, as we look at these different books of the Bible opens up and kind of works together for us and teaches us and helps us understand what the book of Leviticus is about, or what the book of Deuteronomy is about, or who in the world is Haggai, and who, all these different things. It teaches us and shows us that the Word of God works together as one unit to teach us and show us the coming Messiah, and that he is coming again. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer.